We go now to Arkansas for a look at an unusual legal case that could define how private companies behave when they're paid to administer justice. Craighead County in northeastern Arkansas is home to just over 100,000 people, and for about 20 years, a private probation company called the Justice Network had an exclusive deal to manage and enforce that county's probation system. Many locals started to view the Justice Network as predatory, and a couple of people even ran for office to stop it. Then the lawsuits followed, and it's all at the center of the Marshall Project's Case in Point this week. Senior editor Andrew Cohen is here to explain.
Let's say you get a speeding ticket, and you get on probation, and you have to pay a fine. The probation company takes over, and you have to pay that fine. And if you don't pay that fine in a certain amount of time, the company comes back to the judge and says, listen, you either threaten this person with jail, or we're going to add on another fine, and then another fine, and another fine. And so you had people who owed thousands of dollars, up to $10,000, for what amounted to a petty offense that wouldn't have generated that kind of fine in a million years. And of course, the higher that they got into debt, the less they were able to pay, and the more they defaulted, it became sort of an economic model. So what happens is, first, the clergy in the town begin to complain about the process. Newspaper reporters, editorials began to cry out, this is not fair. And then finally, a couple of years ago, you had two individuals in the county who decided they were going to do something about it, and they ran for a judicial position inside the county. They basically ran in a judicial election, and the campaign was basically, if you elect us, good folks of Craighead County, Arkansas, we are going to do something about this probation company.
There are over $20 million in unpaid court fines and fees due Craighead County District Court. Excessive fines mean some people are always in debt to the court. Taxpayers are footing the bill. District Court has even been collecting some fees illegally. It's time for a new direction in our District Court.
Sure enough, they get elected, and sure enough, they make good on their campaign promise. They begin to whittle away at the power this company has over this county.
The crackdown starts, and then what happens?
The crackdown starts, and it's successful. People begin to feel that the economic pressure from this company is eased. Fees are waived. In some cases, the contracts are nullified. And the company sues. So the company now is saying that the judges and the legal system, you could say, is undermining the contractual rights it's supposed to have with these probationers, and it is asking for damages. And that's where this lawsuit is right now. The company basically making these extraordinary arguments in federal court, the judges, the city, the county, all of them responding with motions to dismiss the case, saying, look, we have immunity, we have judicial immunity, and we have legal immunity from this. We can't be responsible. And by the way, we are doing, the judges are doing, what judges are supposed to do, which is try to ensure that the criminal justice system works with a measure of equal protection, with a measure of due process, and without any sort of a debt or prison. So it's a fascinating case that I just haven't heard of before.
Andrew Cohen, you know, when you look at the practices of a company like the Justice Network, and they're legal and they're not alone, increasingly, you know, it doesn't seem like their work has much to do with justice or accountability or even the law. It really seems like, as is the case with predatory lenders and a lot of other companies, that it's really about capitalizing off of poverty, capitalizing off of people's inability to pay. Hey, if these people are on probation, chances are they won't be able to pay a fine and we can make more. And chances are they won't be able to pay that second fine and we can make more. And it's not really about justice at all.
Yeah, I mean, the economic model is part of the problem here, and the oversight is part of the problem here. You could look at other jurisdictions, like let's take Ferguson, Missouri, just quickly. There was predatory policing there, famously, right, that was discovered in the wake of the Michael Brown shooting. That was a public situation. Those were public judges and public prosecutors who were doing essentially the same thing. This is a private sort of situation, so you're even more removed when it comes to a level of accountability and transparency and oversight, where you don't have somebody who has elected responsibility necessarily, who's saying, you know what, this is going way too far. We cannot simply keep burdening these relatively poor people. Another thing to say about this case, part of the reason why the judges acted the way they did once they were elected as reformers was because there was evidence to suggest that there was racial disparities in the way that these probationary services were being applied. Now, look, the company, no one went after the company. Nobody sued the company and said, you're being discriminatory. We should be clear about that. And the company isn't suing the judges or asking for to continue the process to be allowed to continue this, what it's essentially saying again is that there's this interference with this contractual right. And if the federal courts say yes, there is a contractual right here that has to be recognized under the Constitution, and judges, elected judges, are unable to sort of interfere with that right on behalf of people who are being preyed upon in their view, then you have a really major story. I don't know that it's going to go in that direction, but the fact that the company would think that it's worth the shot here to make this argument, to me, is itself fascinating.
Are there jurisdictions, states, counties, cities that use private probation companies that are getting it right?
I think that there are private probation companies that operate with more oversight, that operate with a set of rules that are less predatory, that are less of a concern. I think if you were to talk to advocates who litigate in this area, there's a reason why they go after certain counties, the way things work in certain counties, and the way things don't work in certain counties. And I think we're sort of still at the beginning of the trend of the sort of pushback. And it'll be interesting to see if the reform against private probation companies continues or if there's some pushback. Clearly, this litigation, the fact that there was a lawsuit filed, is a form of pushback from the companies who are saying, wait a minute, we've done nothing wrong. We had valid contracts, and they did, to perform a service, which they did. The question is, are you allowed to perform that service? What happens when that service begins to raise constitutional questions about due process and equal protection and this prohibition that's been recognized by the U.S. Supreme Court against the idea of debtor's prisons? You're not supposed to be able to threaten someone with jail for a mere failure to pay a bill.
Andrew Cohen, senior editor with the Marshall Project and author of Case in Point. Hey, Andrew, thanks for being with us again.
My pleasure, Todd. Anytime.
We have an update for you now on the last Case in Point story that we brought you. Victor Rosario had his conviction overturned after serving more than 30 years behind bars. We've now learned that Rosario will not face a second trial for a 1983 fire in Lowell, Massachusetts that killed 8 people. You can hear our original story about the Rosario case by heading over to our website at thetakeaway.org. I'm Todd Zwillick.